Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you that we're able to be here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, unified by your blood. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we turn to your word. And Lord, as we've been looking at some of these core Christian beliefs and what your word has to say for us in the Bible, we pray that you would open our hearts today, that you would soften them and help us to know these beliefs and not only know, but to act on them. Lord, I pray that you would just block out a few of the distractions that we might have in our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned to the Bible class this morning that when we first started this series, and the first core belief is that I believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I thought, how much more complicated can you get than to start with that belief? Because it's something that we can't explain. I mean, it's something you can't prove. It's something we believe by faith. And as we've gone through some of these core beliefs, I thought the same thing. I mean, there are actually some things, though, that I can really say, check mark. I believe that. I believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God. I believe that he's a personal God and he's involved in my life. I believe that the Bible is the true word of God. I believe that the church is a place where Christians gather and that God uses the church to bring this message of Jesus to the world. I can say that's right on. But I have to say, last week on humanity and this week on compassion, my toes feel crushed. I mean, I feel like I can take my socks off and they'd be black and blue. Because while I can say I believe that God really cares about humanity and that he sees everyone the same way, when I ask myself, do I have to think, well, maybe not. And so today, as we get into this core belief on compassion, how does God see us, and where is his compassion, and where is ours? If we think about the key belief for today, I'd like for that to be brought up on the screen. I'm doing this a little quicker today, but the key belief, I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. I want you to say that with me right quick. I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. I want you to notice that it doesn't say that God calls all Christians to show compassion to the people who are like them, or to the people who think the way I think, or to show compassion to the people that I think deserve it, or the ones that kind of agree with my way of thinking, or the ones I can show compassion to the ones that aren't maybe in my mind abusing a system. It says God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. We see this a little bit, that Jesus tries to demonstrate this in a parable that he tells. There was an expert in the law that, it was our gospel reading, an expert in the law that comes to Jesus, and he's asking this question. Of course, we're told in the text too that they're trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus knows this, but he approaches him and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I love Jesus. I mean, I really do love him too, but I love the way he approaches things sometimes, because he says, well, how do you read it? What do you think? You see, he turns it back on this expert in the law. And so it probably catches the expert of the law a little bit off guard, but he thinks and he says, oh, yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to say this was an exciting moment for Jesus. If you're a teacher or you've ever been involved with trying to show someone or tell someone how to do something and they've struggled with it and they finally get it, you're excited, right? They finally get it. And you may even walk around proud. That's my student. That's the one I told how to do that. And I want to say, in some sense, that's what Jesus is experiencing here. Man, this guy gets it finally. But then he opens his mouth again and says, well, who is my neighbor? Because Jesus tells him, you got it right. But the man says, who is my neighbor? Jesus tells the parable about the man that's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls in the hands of robbers, and he's stripped, he's beaten, everything's taken from him, and he's left half dead. You can use your imagination on what that means. But he's laying there on the side of the road, and three people come by. There's a priest that comes by. And what does the priest do? He crosses over to the other side of the road and passes by. And the same thing for a Levite, who, by the way, is another religious person, passes by on the other side of the road. Now, we're not told exactly what went through their minds, but I wonder, as they saw that man laying there half dead, if they thought, oh, he doesn't look like one of mine, so I'm just going to walk on by. Or, you know, he's probably one of those outcasts anyway, maybe someone who's abusing the system, so he doesn't deserve to be helped anyway, so I'm just going to go on by him. We're not told. But the two are not moved. Or maybe they're thinking, man, I've got to get down. I've got to get to where I'm going to take care of my business. We're not told. But they just simply pass on by. And we're not told in the text, but just really with no regard, no concern whatsoever with this man who's laying there half dead. But a Samaritan comes by, who is, by the way, not looked at very well by the Jews. They didn't have a good relationship at all. But this Samaritan comes up and he sees the man, and we're told that he has pity on him, and he stops. He bandages his wounds. He pours oil on them. He places him on his own donkey, and he takes him into an inn where he takes care of him that night. And the next day, he even tells the innkeeper, continue to take care of this guy, and when I come back, if there's any more expenses, I'll take care of it. And Jesus looks at this expert in the law and says, okay, who was the neighbor to this man? And the expert of the law, I think, finally gets the point too. He says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus' simple words were, go and do likewise. You know, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, I can certainly see someone on the side of the road with a flat. I thought about the kids at school, and we talked about that a little bit with them. They can see someone sitting under that tree at recess by themselves alone, and they're crying. I can see that person as I walk into a McDonald's sitting there by the door holding a sign that says, I'm hungry. I can see a family who is hurting and devastated with the sudden loss of a loved one. I can see a family who's just totally shocked and doesn't even know what to do because they've been told the devastating news, you have a terminal illness. I can see all of that. We can see all of that around us. We can feel it. We can say, I hurt for them. But compassion is action. A married couple by the name of Saul and Pilar Cruz, they started a mission in Mexico City. And they decided to plant a church, start a church right at the edge of a garbage dump. where the poverty-stricken people would come to and dig through the trash just to probably find food to eat, maybe some useful things that they can use for their everyday life. But Saul even admitted that I just can't connect with these people. And the people had a hard time trusting them, you know, putting their faith in them. Until one Sunday morning, they were in the middle of a worship service, and somebody comes running frantically into their church and presents a problem. The sewage line had burst, and it was running down the streets, and it was even beginning to threaten some homes in the area, or maybe some little shelters that people had put up to protect themselves from. And so Saul gets his congregation together, and even some of the onlookers, that he brings them all together, and he gets a local engineer involved with the process, and they begin to fill sandbags. 15 hours later, about 3 a.m, they finally get this sewage leak stopped. Saul and his congregants, they, and probably even some of those onlookers that helped, they go back to their church muddy, filled with stench, covered with sewage. And they go into the church and drop down on their knees and pray. And it was at that moment that those people began to see Saul and Pilar, they're real. They're here for us. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Didn't He leave the perfect clean place of heaven and come into our filthy, sewage-filled lives of sin to bring us forgiveness in life? And now, we're called to action. We're called to step into people's lives. You know, as I think about that list, when I see that person on the side of the road, compassion is to stop and say, "Do you need some help?" and help them change that flat. You know, on the playground, as you're sitting there and you see that little girl or boy who's off by themselves crying, and go up and sit with them, talk with them. When I walk into that McDonald's and see that man holding that sign, "I'm hungry," instead of thinking, "Well, he's just trying to get money," go in and buy a meal, sit down beside him and listen to his story. When that family is devastated because of that lost one, go sit with them. If nothing else, just cry with them. When that family gets that news of a terminal illness, we talked about this in Bible class, maybe the thing is not necessarily just to go give them a meal, but go sit with them. Hold their hand. Get in their mud of their life and feel their pain with them. That's compassion. It goes beyond a feeling and becomes an action where we get dirty with the people's lives. We feel their pain. We sit with them. We hurt with them. That's what we as Christians are called to do. The key point, one more time, let's say it together. I believe God calls all Christians to show compassion to those in need. In the Bible verse for today, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. God does not call us to make the judgment call as to whether or not someone is needy. He calls us to help. And I pray that that's what we here at St. John are about in our community. That's what we as individuals are about as we live our lives in this world, that we have been called to a life of compassion. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.